Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Thursday edition, the joint practices edition. Another one today with the Baltimore Ravens. Lots of Ravens fans outside. I don't know if they're like local or if they had never been to Lambeau Field and so local. They made the pilgrimage. Yeah, you know, I mean.
Let me tell you something. Did you really ask that question?
Max Tauscher's favorite team is who?
The Packers now. It was the Seahawks because we had a tour out there. But you're telling me in Ashwaubenon, Alloway, Howard, Depier, West Depier, East Depier, that there's a ton of Ravens fans. Come on, dude. You know the deal.
I'm not saying it was like a Trump rally number of people.
They're all
I'm
in Swamico.
I'm saying that a couple dozen people.
Okay, let me tell you something. I know you're a sports writer, not a fan.
True.
But fans love to go and get to places that are historic, that are legendary. It is very difficult to get to Lambeau Field for a regular season game.
It's true.
Most sports fans want to get to Lambeau. The Ravens are here. You get to now come and do a joint practice and go to a preseason game, which has become much easier to get to and cheaper.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Hotels will be cheaper. The games will be not quite as good, but you still get those experiences. If you really thought that people are just coming up from Appleton or Kimberly and there's just a flock of Ravens fans that live here,
flock,
you're crazy.
Clever. Good. There were a lot of Ravens jerseys. Again, there were probably, I don't know, three or four dozen people by the media entrance that I enter through. And because that's where the Ravens entrance is next to, because they're going to be coming in and out of there. They do that for all the joint practices. And there were a ton of Lamar Jackson jerseys. I saw a couple of Derrick Henry jerseys. Again, I'm not saying that there was a throng of thousands of people, but I don't know, maybe 50, 60 people that many of them clad in purple, not in Packers gear, waiting for the Ravens to quote the Ravens.
Jesse, you think this is Ravens fans that live in Alloway and Ashwaubenon, or do you think this is a Baltimore contingent that has come in?
They made the trip. They don't play here that often.
I'm guessing that there was some that might have been local. But be that as it may, it is the Thursday edition of Wilde and Tausch.
Go down and pull it, Wilde. Go do a little
We'll hold it down here.
We'll hold it down while you go pull where these cats are from.
Just okay. My hunch is.
Ask 10 Ravens fans, where do they live?
All right, 10 yes. people
and
in
do it,
Jersey.
But you have to video it yeah. and put it on our Digi.
Okay, so you want me to go do that right now instead of doing the show?
During the break, during this, when you're walking that, down
it's
to
gonna,
practice.
It's,
which,
it's gonna, they're going to be gone what? By then. They're all going to be gone at practice.
Practice
their jerseys
like
will still be there.
Jesse, yeah. my office is at least a 4-minute walk to where they are standing.
Seems like it's longer than that because you can't show up to the press conferences on time.
Hey, sick burn, bro. Good one.
Thanks, brother. Hey, that's pretty good. Yep. Where's Wilby? Nice late. Too long of a walk.
So I don't think I'll be able to go interview them and not miss portions of the program, which I don't, maybe that'll be better. All right. So it is joint practice day at Packers practice. It is also, can't believe I'm saying this, on August 22nd, the final open practice of training camp. The fans will no longer be able to watch their heroes after today. Tausch, my recollection from your playing days was that there would, you know, you guys would go and high five the folks over in the stands or on the rail birds area. It just feels really early for dream drive and open practices to already be over, doesn't it?
Well, preseason, the schedule changed. There normally would be a fourth game. Now you give guys a full week to prep for their opener. So, yeah, it is, man. It's early, I think, but it is what it is. This is the new NFL, so I'm not this has been this way. Is it a little bit early? Certainly it is. I think one of the things that you're hearing when this schedule does flip to 18 regular season two is that these guys might start a little bit later. The offseason might be a little shorter. But this is what it is, and I think, you know, Packer fans have enjoyed their limited access with what did you say, 14 padded practices? It might even be less than that. But it ends with a bang. And I think today is, you know, replacing that preseason game in some respect. These joint practices where Ravens fans flock into Lambeau to get autographs and to be able to get right in front of Lamar Jackson and Henry and, you know, all of the other stars that the Baltimore Ravens have to get here. So, yes, it's shorter. It's a little, you know, it's probably – it's just different. And different can be good. But today is it, and I am excited to get reports as it's on the ground with you being down there because I think – for Matt LaFleur to feel good about where this team is, they need to practice well today. And normally it's, oh, you practice, you work, you do. I think today is an important day for the Packers, especially on the offensive side of the football, to kind of measure up and see where they're at against the team that was the best team in the league during the regular season last year in the Baltimore Ravens.
So how does he change his approach today then if it's such an important day? Right. Like he said that the practice was going to look a lot like the one in Denver did. So that's not going to change in terms of the format. So let me clarify.
OK,
that's a good clarification.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, geez, why would he want that to be the same thing? That was a whooping out there in the Mile High.
Right. Apparently the word he used was that they were humbled in that practice. So if this is such an important day, which I, by the way, I agree with you. But if this is such a vital day for them to feel good about where they're at going into the games that count, how does he approach it? What does he do differently so it's not a rerun of what happened in Denver? Has he already done enough to make it clear that it's not the same after last week telling the guys they wouldn't play in the game and this week withholding that information?
Yeah, I just think this I think you're going to see more schematics. I think you're going to see some stuff that Matt LaFleur dials up because he wants his offense to feel good about where they're at. And I don't think it's going to be some extensive game plan, but I do think you're not going to just say, let's just go out and go vanilla, vanilla, and let's just go, you know, best man win type of deal. Let's give ourselves a chance to be successful. And obviously Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love and everybody understands that this system is a part of their success. So scheme up a couple things, get some big plays, get a little juice in your home crowd, and don't just go into it with a let's just practice and let's kind of see where we're at. Go into it with a really good approach and have some stuff up your sleeve so that you can execute at a better level than what you did last time. That's what I would think is going to happen.
So if you have things up your sleeve, as you put it, I want to say that's cheating. It's not cheating, but is it a little bit like, hey, we gotta do something to get guys, like if you're a player and the coaches are scheming things up for the joint practice, isn't that kind of sending a message that we're not real happy with where things are? We don't think we can do it without doing a little scheming to be able to be more productive.
It's not cheating, Jason. It's not like Harbaugh and LaFleur sitting there saying, well, you can't run your stuff. It's on us. If you're going to say it's 7-on-7, you bring linemen in and you just start running the football down their throat, no, that's you're not doing it, or
cheating.
You're having a blitz period. You do the drills, and then you draw plays that you think are going to win versus those drills. So I just think, and again, man, I'm not sitting in those meetings. I don't know necessarily how last week's approach was, if it was we're just going to go out and kind of react and try to make plays. This needs to be more of a, all right, these are the things, some concepts, not that we're going to use against Philly, but these are going to be some concepts that we really like and that we really feel will match up well and go against what Baltimore does. How they approach the defensive side of it, this is how we'll attack this when it's a regular season scripted, when you're scheming to win a regular season game. I just believe that Matt LaFleur really wants to win the scrimmage today. And normally we call those guys all Hudson and anything else, but there are times where you need your psyche, and I think your team needs that boost, especially if you're not going to play on Saturday. You want to have a good mindset and mentality about where you're at going into next week's practice and prepping for the Philadelphia Eagles. You don't want to be answering questions. Boy, guys taking a step back. You just don't want that narrative to be a part of the vocabulary of next week. And you nip that today by having a good day.
So that was obviously the narrative. It wasn't at your behest because I intended to ask about it anyway. I didn't ask about it in letter grade form like you had requested, but there's reason to wonder going into today. And so we'll talk more about where this offense is because, we showed the little guy yesterday on the video feed, the little dog with his hat on, sitting with his cup of coffee in his engulfed in flames kitchen saying, this is fine. I do wonder, and this was one of the things we talked about during the offseason, if what it'll be like when they're going against teams that are scheming, that are game planning in the games that count. If there's, having 19 full games and an entire offseason for your scouting staff to break down all of your upcoming opponents, including the Green Bay Packers, if they will have a better idea of how not to stop this offense, but certainly to better slow it down than teams did during the second half of last season. I don't anticipate the league completely catching up to them, but I do think that's part of the conversation that I'd like to have with Matt LaFleur going into the regular season. I know that none of these window companies are catching up to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, you have all of these. Well, I think they're guests. Jason thinks they're locals that are Raven fans, but how does Lambeau say, welcome to our guests? Well, I know how Pella does it. They say it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And you know what? You say it with color. Not Baltimore purple, but a lot of other colors. The possibilities are endless thanks to Pella's custom colors. And of course, you say it with class. Pella's premium doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. And you say it with a great deal. Zero interest for 5 years, 60 months. 5 years, 60 months. No money down and equal payments across the board. Hurry up. This offer ends 9 days from today, the 31st of August. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
We will continue to get ready for all these Ravens fans who have flocked.
Wow. Alloway was... Ravens. A Schwabenon.
So Domofsky posted a photo as he was walking in here. There are Packers fans in the foreground, but you can see the Ravens fans in the background. Again, it is not a huge throng of people, but I thought maybe there'd be some Max Tauscher types who live in the land of Packerdom, but perhaps were Ravens fans. I mean, you know, they won a Super Bowl more recently than the Packers. They've got an exciting quarterback. You know, maybe there's some Lamar Jackson fans here in the greater Green Bay Metroplex. I will not go interview fans. We will talk more about the practice coming up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I was not able to check to see if the throngs of out-of-town Ravens fans have grown outside their locker room. Packers-Ravens practice set to kick off at 10:30.
Jason,
yes, sir.
Doug Jones on Twitter tweeted that a group of Ravens is not a flock. It's called an unkindness. Is that? Thank you, Jesse. Is that right?
I don't know that. I know that
I've never heard that
group of crows is called a murder. I know that a group of loons is called an asylum.
That would make sense.
The loony bin. Yeah, that all makes sense.
Why do we have these names?
That's a great question. Fun. Why aren't they just
but
all
no
fun?
One ever says other than murder of crows.
Gaggle. I think geese is a gaggle
of geese. Gaggle
yeah,
geese and a murder
it,
of crows.
Right.
Those are the only two anyone
I'm
ever
says. I'm not 100% sure. I've duck hunted in the past. I want to get into duck hunting again. I'm going to get into duck hunting. Geez. I think a good duck breast is a great cut of meat.
Well, Oregon plays the Badgers in November, don't they?
Oh, good one, Jason.
Thank you.
Good one.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what is a flock of ducks called? Quacks? Quacktastic?
A blind?
Well,
oh, that's
where
you
shoot
them from. Yeah. Never mind.
Jason, is there anybody? And listen, Packer fans they love their players, and Jordan Love is an emerging star in this league. But outside of Patrick Mahomes and now Travis Kelce, is there anybody you'd rather see to watch at a joint practice than Lamar Jackson?
No, that's a good one. I would like to see Justin Herbert, personally. But I'd also like to see your guy, Josh Allen, who you like, but he turns the ball over too much. Right?
He does.
Joey B. Yes, Joey Burrow, yes. Maybe Mishmel Schmalman can meet me here, and we can watch practice together. But, no, look, he's a fantastic player. He's also lost – I was reading this story from the Baltimore Sun yesterday. He's lost 20 pounds?
Wow.
Which I'm curious. There was a year. Yeah, we should do that. There was a year where Favre came back way thinner than he had been. And I would say
year?
That nine.
He went through some stuff.
He did. I do recall that. I'll have to go back in the Wilde archives. It's right
did
around.
Did he
the
ever
time
get an unauthorized? I know Perlman did it, but did he ever have an unauthorized biography about him?
Yeah, no, I think Perlman's is the unauthorized and Chris Hovel's is the ghostwritten one. So yeah, no, I don't know if there's another one coming now because since the Perlman book, there seems to have been a lot more stuff going on with Love You Guys guy. That's for sure.
I love you guys.
So when you talk about Lamar Jackson, you know, I was going to talk about the offense, but let's flip it to the defense momentarily. What does he do for you as a defense as you're preparing for the season, preparing for Jalen Hurts in the opener?
Yeah, I brought that up for a couple of different things. But Jalen Hurts, if y'all remember, I think it was in Philly, I prize picked him.
Oh, boy.
And normally I don't bring that up unless we're doing a prize
unless you won
or a segment. Right. But I just recall rushing yards, and I'm thinking, all right, the Pack, they're not going to let Jalen Hurts run all over them. They're going to force Jalen Hurts to beat you from the pocket. And if Jalen Hurts has more yards in the first quarter than he had than what the projection was for the whole game. So old T didn't have a good night that night on his prize picks, but you just think, you wonder, and not that Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson are the same player. Lamar Jackson's much more elusive. Jalen Hurts is much thicker and quarterback sneaks and all the stuff that he's done. But Lamar Jackson last year, they really tried to get him going in the passing game. They brought in weapons. I think this is such a good test, and I don't know if the Packers have access to saying, we want the Ravens nevermore up at Lambeau for a scrimmage. But if you knew prior to that you were going to play the Philadelphia Eagles and you wanted to prep and get some good work in versus a quarterback that's going to possess and do some of the similar things that Jalen Hurts is going to do before your regular season opener, this is how you draw it up. So I don't believe that Baltimore is going to sit there and run a bunch of quarterback runs with Lamar Jackson, but I certainly think they'll do some, and his elusiveness in the pocket and how you're going to rush him, because I think everybody just thinks, Rashawn Gary, get to the quarterback. Preston Smith, get to the quarterback. Kenny Clark, get to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have a pocket passer, yes. If you're going against Kirk Cousins, Brock Purdy, get to your spot. Make them get off their spot. Well, Lamar Jackson's the exact opposite. So is Jalen Hurts. So for me, as a Packers fan, this is so good, and you'll get a great idea of how Jeff Hafley is thinking about, not going to do everything the same, but how is the approach? Are you going to go mush rush where stay in your lanes? Because, yeah, it's great to get quarterback sacks, but you can't get washed down inside and let Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts or any of these quarterbacks that are elusive getting outside the pocket to extend plays and use their feet. You want to contain. And that today, especially even with the red jersey or whatever color jersey Lamar will have on, you really are going to focus on pass rush lane discipline and how you approach that. So it is such a great, great thing for Green Bay to get this opportunity before they play Philly in Brazil.
So if you were me, and you can't be two places at once, and in past years they've put the offense on one field with the visitors' defense, and then on the other field they put the Packers' defense with the visitors' offense. If you were me, who would you want to watch more today, the Packers' defense against the Ravens' offense or the Packers' offense against the Ravens' defense? Because I would argue, I know Mike McDonald.
Pull that, Jesse. Yeah, pull that. Yeah, that's easy for me, Jason. I'm still, for as much as we've asked questions and wondered about this Packers offense, Lamar Jackson's the reigning MVP. Derrick Henry's a big old bull. This Packers defense has a lot of questions. How good are they going to be? All of my energy and focus is going down there. 100% of it.
Jesse, are you on Tausch's team on this?
Yes, I am on Tausch's team. I agree. I think that's definitely the more fascinating component heading into the start of the season. So you feel good
maybe
about
don't
the other
need to
side.
Pull it then. Yeah, maybe we don't.
I don't know. I was going to push back and say I'm still. This is a, you know, they obviously their defensive coordinator became the Seahawks head coach, but this is an organization that has won Super Bowls with its defense. That as much as throughout the last 30 years, the Packers' calling card has been great quarterback play and great offense and meh to bleh defenses. The Ravens' calling card, even with the reigning MVP at quarterback, has been their defenses. So I especially after inquiring about the level of inconsistency the offense has shown, I kind of want to see what that group does too, and whether Jordan Love and the scheming that you mentioned is capable of getting this offense untracked a little bit. So, like you said, I think this is good on a ton of levels, but I think both sides of the ball for the Packers are getting a meaningful challenge from this group today, and we will see how that goes starting at 10:30 down to practice. All right, we need to get to Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. He's going to talk to us next, but before that, we need to make a quick trip. No, wait, I don't need to do that. That's later in the show, my fault. We need to pour me in, Coach, with a little Tito's.
Tito's handmade vodka on game day or scrimmage day or joint practice day? Pour me in, Coach Harbaugh. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy bloody for your warm-up. Salt the rim of a Tito-rita during halftime or take home the win with a Tito's and anything. Soda, cranberry water, whatever it might be. You're calling this game. You can change up your roster or wash that lucky jersey that you bought in Alloway as a Ravens fan. I don't even know where you'd get that. As long as you make Tito's your first round bottle pick. Whose house? Oh, you know it's Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at Tito'sVodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
Probably easier for a Green Bay resident to get a Ravens jersey than it's been for me to get a Tito's scarf from a Tito's spokesman. Be that as it may, we will talk to Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com. Throwing caution, what's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get out of this town, I just might be the one who finally burns it down. I'm throwing caution.
You know what that music means? Time now to spend some time with our third favorite host of Unsportsmanlike across ESPN Radio and ESPN Wisconsin. It is Evan Cohen. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Well, I'm confused because, and I didn't hear the entirety of it. We had some things going on this morning, but I am, obviously as a longtime journalist, I am big on punctuation. Like, if you read the text chain between old T and Jesse and me, among us, I'm writing it in complete sentences with punctuation. And the period is offensive. This sounds like something I need to know more about because I'm offending people then and I don't even know it.
Yeah, so this is something I did not know about until today. Michelle Smallman brought this up, the idea that I guess people get bothered. Now, this is because I did a lot of follow-up questions as a parent, we are. Like, is this going to offend a teacher if my son's writing a book report? Like, does he need a period in there? So I guess it's based on the actual dot, like not the word period, when you're writing a text message or an email communication towards someone, that if you put a period at the end of a sentence, like one theoretically should, it is deemed to be kind of aggressive or passive aggressive, which, I mean, Jason, you spent enough time around Aaron Rodgers, you've kind of majored in passive aggressive. Was he a period guy? Just out of curiosity.
Let me scroll through my text messages. I recently had an exchange with him. Let me see if he punctuated it or not. Let me get back to you on that as I scroll through. Tausch is not a punctuator, though, right, Tausch? fair to say?
Exclamation points I will use. I actually more
Wait,
verbalize
you're it. You're here today? It's a day that ends in Y, Tausch. You were able to show up?
Oh, that's good. I think the exclamation point is the only punctuation you really need. Or I think a question mark is good, too, to make sure that somebody's going to answer the question rather than just splurting something out there. But otherwise, I'm sorry. You shouldn't be getting offended by punctuation. You shouldn't.
I just scroll back at like the last four or five text messages that Tausch and I have sent back and forth. There's actually no punctuation in any capacity with the two of us.
If you have to write a book,
those two examples for the University of Wisconsin, we don't know English. Our text messages are embarrassingly bad.
Thank you, Professor Hoyt, for that.
If I may,
you had Chestnut on today.
I'll shoot.
What did you say, Jesse? Speaking of somebody that actually showed up to work, what did you say?
If I may, nice. The sentence "nice job." If you text somebody "nice job," "nice job" with an exclamation point, "nice job" with a period, and "nice job" with no punctuation mean three like totally different things.
It depends on the context. If you slapped it around and you weren't doing it, and somebody said "nice job" with like a laughing emoji, that is satirical. It means you didn't do a good job. Everything else means "nice job," and exclamation points means, "gosh darn it, you did a heck of a job."
Yeah, you know what though? As the three of you know, I wouldn't send a text message saying "nice job," so I don't know from that.
Not to us, anyways. That's for sure. Joey Chestnut, why'd you have Chestnut on today?
Oh, we're doing air checks. Okay. So Joey Chestnut has the showdown.
No, that's funny. Exclamation point. That's funny now.
He has the matchup with Kobayashi on September 2nd on Netflix, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central. Oh. So we got pitched Joey Chestnut to come on. I'm also fascinated by many parts of Joey Chestnut. I'll give you a few, which I asked him all about. I'm fascinated that he is in good shape. That's number one. I was fascinated by his prep for getting ready for the hot dog eating contest. He does eat hot dogs. I also, my forever long question with him has always been, if you're doing the hot dog competition at 3 p.m. like he is, do you eat dinner that night? And he said he does. Because, like, you know, on Thanksgiving, if you eat at, like, 2 o'clock, I still want lunch and I still want dinner. Like, it's just, to me, that's an extra meal. That's not a replacement meal, regardless of how much you eat. Maybe not the healthiest thing in the world. So I had a lot of questions, and I was glad he could join us to answer them. Is that okay by you, Tausch?
Yeah, no, question it's, mark? Well, if you, it, hey, stop being so self-defensive. Like, settle down for a second. The reason I asked, I also am fascinated by Joey Chestnut and his championship clout that he has. But I wonder for you, who was an aspiring high school quarterback, would you rather have made the NFL as a back?
I was not an aspiring high school quarterback. I was a high school quarterback. Let's get the facts straight here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So knowing your love of football, and that's now what you do a big part of your job is football, would you rather be Chestnut, who is the GOAT of competitive eating, or a six-year journeyman offensive player in the NFL that never really made a mark but had a six-year NFL career? What would you pick?
Yeah, I mean, like, we have to be a little bit more specific. What position – like, I don't want to be a right tackle, obviously, but, like, what position – because where does that get you?
Long snapper. You're 6 years as a long snapper.
I think you'd rather be Joey Chestnut in that spot, right?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
But, like, what about – I think Joey Chestnut, but what about, like, hypothetically, if you're looking at the Chase Daniel, forever backup quarterback. I know he's now in the media, so maybe that's a bad example. But you get what I'm saying. Like, let's just talk about the football part of it. I think you'd rather be the lifelong backup quarterback, specifically – than the top competitive eater, I think
all of us that get into whatever field you're in, whether it's a plumber, whether it's a sports journalist,
plumbers again,
I think you want to be the best in that field. And if you're by far the best, not like it's some question, I think you go Chestnut. I do. You want to be the GOAT. So, you want to be the best of the best.
So let's talk about plumbing for a second, because I would be terrible at that. The best plumber is the person that shows up. There's no toilet, there's no water break, there's no shower, there's no faucet that person can't fix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's never actually been that. That's what you're saying? Like, the greatest plumber. Now, do you have to show the crack? Do you have to show the crack? Because I think that's
part of
being a plumber.
Yeah.
Plumber's crack.
Right? Like,
yeah.
If you have the in-shape plumber that shows up that when they bend down, you don't see at all anything... it's not the greatest of all time. Like, lean into the character of being a plumber, you know?
I feel like I've seen a few of those in movies.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Anyway, by the way, have you guys, because I have not, have you guys read the Rogers book yet?
I have not.
No, I have not.
All right, three great examples for reading here, University of Wisconsin-Madison graduates, the three of us. We can't write... and we can't read.
Professor Hunt writes to the show every day, too.
Period.
It's really bad.
Everything
else is going swimmingly.
All right, I have another question.
All right, Evan, so...
okay.
Go ahead. I forgot that you take over this segment, which is fine.
That's
go
right.
ahead.
My buddy Matt Berry from SportsCenter, Get Up, a college football play-by-play guy, joined us this morning, and he listed his top three college campuses, and... this is a guy I've been friends with for a long time. I really like him.
Uh-oh.
And he put Ann Arbor on there and did not put Madison.
In fairness, listen, I'm not going to sit here and defend Barry. I was watching when you were doing this, and it was college town, not campus. In fairness to Barry.
Okay, sorry, college town. You're right. Are you going to argue, Tausch? You've been there. We've all been there. Ann Arbor is better than Madison? In what world? I didn't even find the games in Michigan when I went there overly loud or exciting. It was kind of like boring. I mean, there is no game in the history since I started going to school at the University of Wisconsin in 1998. Not a single game since then has been a boring game relative to fan environment. There's not a fall weekend, winter weekend for the University of Wisconsin that is not an amazing weekend and place to be. For anyone to think that Ann Arbor is better than Madison, they're nuts. Nuts.
Yeah, I would say if you're going to make these arguments, and listen, everybody has biases. You have biases. I have biases. Jason, I think, has biases, although I know he's not a fan. Ann Arbor is not the spot. Like, if you want to get into – I'll say this. If you want to pick other Big Ten schools to put in the equation, Penn State needs to be at right there with us. Because you go to a whiteout game and you drive in there as a player and you see the RVs and you see the just that atmosphere is dynamite too. Penn State, way over Michigan any day of the week and twice on Saturday.
I'm glad you did this, Tausch, because you can portray this in a way that the rest of us cannot. Because I think you saying what you're saying is very interesting. The schools that you played at or have been to that you would say, I know none of us would put anything over Madison, but you would say, I'm cool if person X would say that is equivalent to that of as a college town. You said Penn State. What other schools, if any, would you be okay with someone saying?
Well, I would not put the Illinois and the Purdue. Any of those are just completely but I do believe Iowa, I understand. I'm trying to give some context, which I think is part of the deal.
I put a period.
Iowa is another school that I think deserves some love. I think they do a really good job. They have the Children's Hospital tribute at the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Their fans are right on top of you. I would be – it's not in the same because it's smaller, but all I can do – Ohio State gets a lot of love, and it's loud, and it's a great – you know, it's a great stadium, the whole bit. But that's probably one of my great victories. So I don't actually mind that place because it brings back great memories.
Were you on the team, the Bollinger 42-17 game at Ohio State?
Oh, come on now. Come on.
Well, I don't remember. Yes. How would I remember? You didn't play a role in winning.
Because you're supposed to be – yeah, well, that was the one year that I did. So why don't you – Yes, that was what that win and how that game played out is one of the great. It just from a Wisconsin sports fan standpoint and a player, it's one of the great wins of all time.
I agree. Did I get the score right? I was off the top of my head. 42-17, is that right?
I believe, yeah, it was 17-3 at the half, and I think we were 17-0 something, and we ran the table in the second half, and it was absolutely awesome. Pat Richter gave a great speech. Barry got all fired up at halftime. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Saved the season, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. All right, you spent a lot of your – do you have anything else for us, or can I get to your two Flores? No, I'm asking. You got anything
else? I'll save my time.
In dealing with someone on a daily basis that loves to be told how much they're loved and not pushed, Jason, why are you so fascinated by this Tua and Flores commentary?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. So
thanks.
So am I.
Here's the thing. I don't believe what Tua did was fair relative to one specific part of this. It is 1,000% okay for someone to say about someone else, we're not a fit professionally. We didn't work well together. This person treated me poorly. He was terrible or she was terrible to me. But where I had an issue is Tua uniformly saying, how would you feel? This was to Dan Le Batard and Stu Goss on MetalArk Media. How would you feel if you woke up every day, you went to work, and your boss told you you were terrible at this? Everyone would be. Would
Jason, how does that feel? I'm just
result.
Curious.
No, but Jason's not told that anymore. But
I continue.
I'm busy in the morning. Anyway, the reality is, I think that it's utterly absurd to uniformly think that every single person is motivated the same way. You two are actually a great example of that, knowing you both as well as I do.
Mm-hmm.
If someone were reviewing the show, what Jason wants to hear is give me the segment that borderlines perfection and tell me how we could replicate that every segment for 3 hours straight. What Mark wants to hear is give me the segment that should have never aired and tell me all of the things that we need to avoid in order to win. Neither approach is wrong. Neither approach is right. Both approaches are yours individually. Where I think Tua was unfair was assuming that everyone was like him. Where I think that Coach Flores was probably wrong is assuming everyone could be coached how Tom Brady was coached, which is what he witnessed over the course of, 20 years, whatever it is. I think where Tua really crossed the line is calling him a terrible person. Because that indicates when he leaves the facility, you know how he treats his wife, his kids, his friends, his other family members, his charitable work, how he's dealing with his neighbors. You could dislike the person that's coaching you, but to make the, unless you have evidence to prove it, to call someone a terrible person is a very big stretch. But I think it is the ultimate example of that organization not being an impressive organization because they don't know who they are. The Green Bay Packers, to their credit, I think know who they are. They knew that Jordan Love could handle being the backup for 3 years, whatever it was. They knew that LaFleur could coach the heck out of Love. And they knew that Goody was the guy to ultimately say goodbye to Rodgers. They knew exactly who they were. Think about how little the Dolphins understood about their own people. They bring in Flores, who wants to coach Tausch, and having him coach Wilde. That makes no sense. It's not a fit. You're not going to get the best out of the person. That doesn't mean either party is wrong or right. And the other thing I will say, and I know I'm long-winded as usual on this, is now what? Now what happens if they don't reach their goals? If they, let's say, go and have a winning season and don't win a playoff game, the coach is really good. You're not getting rid of him. You just gave the quarterback a contract extension, and the quarterback told you he won't play for anybody but this coach. What exactly do you do? They're screwed, and they've done it to themselves.
Yeah, I just feel like the best coaches, to your point, understand that you treat everyone fairly. You don't treat everyone the same. And, you know, one of my criticisms of Rodgers toward the end of his time as the Packers quarterback in terms of his leadership is that I think despite the view that a lot of people had of him, I think for the better part of his career, he understood that there were guys, and Tausch, you're the one who played with him, so correct me if I'm wrong, but that there were guys that you could chew their asses out, and there were other guys where you had to put your arm around them and figure out a different way to motivate them. Lucas Patrick was a rare guy that you could sit and have a heart-to-heart talk with him over pancakes in the cafeteria, but then you could also get after him after practice for something he did. But most people, there's one way that's more effective than any other to lead them, and I always thought that he was good about that. But then when we got to 2022 and last season in training camp, when Romeo Doubs said, I learned a lot from Aaron, even with him barely speaking to me, that was such a tell for me. And my point to Rodgers was, because I texted him and he defended himself saying that he had lunch with Doubs a bunch of times and he thought he really reached out to him and did a good job. And I said, but the point is that you didn't, because he didn't feel that way. So even if you felt like it was sufficient, he didn't. And so you as the leader, it's on you to make sure that you go beyond what you thought you needed to connect with him. And so I do think, you know, in Tua's case, obviously he has a good fit now with McDaniel. But I don't think it's so cut and dried. And Evan, you obviously know so much about the Patriots. I don't know enough about Belichick to speak to this, but I would think someone as successful as him recognized the guys on his team that he had to coach differently than he coached the Bradys and the Teddy Bruschis and a lot of those other guys who could really take his tough coaching better than others could.
Jason, that's the thing that's interesting about this. Everything that I've gotten from those that played for Coach Belichick or worked with him, it wasn't about being tough, like in terms of chewing someone out or things like that. The whole thing, and I'm sure Tausch can talk about this better as an aspiring right tackle in the NFL, that you think about Belichick, the thing that everyone said is he was just simple in his communication and direction. So it could come across harsh or cold or whatever, it would be, these are the three things you need to do, and I will tell you if you are doing them or not doing them. Not like raising his voice, screaming or yelling, not lovey-dovey, just clear, direct, just do these things, right? The do-your-job thing is made fun of, but like that's literally, I think, what everyone says about Belichick. I mean, Tausch, obviously you can speak towards this better than we can.
Yeah, that's why it's so complicated, and I think in the past, it's just, this is my way, this is how it's going to be. And I don't know, even with Belichick and what you said there, I don't know if that plays in today's day. I think the whole concept of don't tell them, how does that saying go, Jason? I always have to go back to you.
They don't care
how much you know. Show me.
Whoa, I thought you meant they don't care.
No. Go with that. That's the one. What is it?
They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
There you go. That was the quote. Thank you. And that's where we're at. And so you're more open to doing everything you need to do when you know someone cares about you in comparison to it just being, this is your job, do it. And that's more
Tausch, quick question for you on that, because I'm fascinated by that.
Yep.
For you specifically, right, you are such a high achiever in life in literally everything you've ever done. I almost feel like, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I almost feel like your determination of if someone cares, if they legally, morally, and ethically give you the answers to the test to make you better, is your version of someone caring about you. Like, you don't need them asking about your wife and kids. You need someone saying, if you're going to block Julius Peppers this way, you're going to stop him. And if someone gave you that way of blocking him, I feel like for you, and correct me if I'm wrong, that is your version of someone caring about you.
Yeah, I think there's evolution with everybody, but when I was playing football, yes. How can I do my job to the highest level I can? And if you're going to help me with that, and that was coaches would always say that, we want you to be successful. This is what you need to do. But I do think the mentality and the focus on, you know, with your team now, it is different. You can't be the same, just like the old Junction Boys movie when old Bear Bryant didn't give guys water breaks because they thought it was weakness. That's idiotic. And I think there's a lot of stuff that was done that's not as smart as what they're doing now, but there is, it's just different. It's a lot different, and in a lot of ways it's better, but for me, it would be a big adjustment. I liked being coached hard. I didn't have a problem with that.
Evan, before we let you go, since we're already late anyway, is Michelle Schmallman, as I like to call her, is she giving out roses on a weekly basis here? What is the breakdown to when she will go from her final six to choosing the Packers as her new team?
Good question, Jason. So she has narrowed it down to six. The Dolphins, the Niners, the Bengals, the Jets for some reason, the Bears, and the Packers. Actually, I shouldn't say for some reason. The reason is clear, and she explained this on KBN yesterday, that she picked Rodgers to win the MVP this year, so it's like a double down for her. So the first week of the NFL season, she is going to pick her team. I think there will be maybe an elimination day to some extent on Tuesday of that week, and then the choice on Wednesday or maybe Wednesday, Thursday. I don't remember exactly how she's going to do it, but it will be the first week of the season. I can tell you, I've been open about this, that I think she should pick the Packers. I don't know if she will.
Yeah, and Evan, I feel like we had her on early as this whole plan came together, this whole operation, and it feels to me like we're the nice guy. I don't I feel
the friend zone.
She likes the bad boy. It's going to be the Joe Burrow, or she's going to be crazy if she takes the Jets, but she lives there. I just get that feeling that we're the nice. Oh, that's the stable group. And I don't know if that's where she's at in her life. So if I'm being honest, I don't think she's going to end up picking Green Bay, but I could be wrong.
Well, there are people trying to influence her. I believe a host Sundays 10 until noon on ESPN Wisconsin has tried to influence her, and not towards the Packers, I can tell you that much.
Okay.
So I think there are people in her ear. I know that ESPN Radio in Cincinnati reached out to me today to have her on. I don't know that Ben Brust leading the charge yesterday is who you want.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle and Brad, yes. Ben Brust, yes. Ben Brust, if you listen to that interview, I don't know that he ever heard of Michelle Smallman until yesterday, to be honest. If we're air-checking on the air. So I don't know where she's going to go. I think that the best person to really rally the troops around the Packers happens to be me. But
I'm
going to go into Tausch mode, and that you will not hear me on the air until September 3rd.
Wait a second. So you bust my chops, and you're off for 2 weeks?
It was not me that busted your chops this
interesting.
Week.
Okay.
If you notice, it was Matt LePay who started this. I just added to it. LePay texted the two of us. Matt basically takes attendance with Tausch every day and reports back to me when Tausch all of a sudden is nowhere to be found. And by the way, speaking of not showing up, how about Jesse, who last week when I got done with your show says to me, I'll talk to you later. I'm filling in with Jim and Matt and Molly. It'll be Molly and I. I get on the show that day, Jesse's nowhere to be found.
I was wondering if that would come up.
What the hell happened to you?
We found somebody else that could step in. It was good for me.
Couldn't find anyone. Do you remember Scanner Dan in Madison? Jesse, if he was available, Jesse would put him on. Jesse would put anybody on not to work 10 minutes more.
In fairness, Scanner Dan would have been a hell of a guest. He would have done it.
I always thought we should. Is he still alive, by the way?
I don't think so.
I don't believe I don't think so, but don't quote me on that.
Evan.
Okay.
We should probably let you go. Thanks.
All right, see ya.
Oh, Jesse, I'm sorry, buddy. I apologize.
It always comes back to me in the end somehow.
You're such a good sport, though. That's for sure. All right, we're getting close to kickoff for Packers-Ravens joint practice. Thanks to Evan Cohen for his time today and the chops busting that went on during that portion of the program. We still have to finish the 9 o'clock hour. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
During the commercial break, RIP indeed to Scanner Dan. Jesse, you've never even heard like the legend. I mean, you're not even a UW alum, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, this is a new character to me. I've never heard of Scanner Dan.
His name was Dan Matheson. He passed away in 2020. According to the Wisconsin State Journal. So yes, but he had some mental health issues, but he was one of the iconic State Street characters throughout my time at UW-Madison as well as Tausch's. So he would not have been available to fill in on Jim, Matt, and Molly. Thanks to Evan Cohen for his insights. I thought that was a really good conversation we had with him. We'll be the judge of that once it gets air-checked by someone. Want to remind you, though, that the Packers are getting ready for their joint practice with the Ravens. I want to clarify one of the reasons why there were so many people outside is because all of the Ravens are doing like a ancillary Dream Drive. They're not going down the same path as Dream Drive, Tausch. They have their own path that has been cordoned off for them.
Okay.
But all of the players are doing the bike rides.
Nightmare
as
Alley?
Well.
Good one.
What are we calling the Ravens area?
Unkindness.
Again? Group. Unkindness.
Unkindness. Hopefully they're not unkind
drive.
To the G&G today.
We'll talk a little more about bike rides coming up. Want to remind you, it's Steinhoffel's biggest Labor Day sale ever. Save up to $800 on closeouts and amazing bonus buys like a Beautyrest Queen mattress for just $299. Plus, enjoy Steinhoffel's 60-month financing, making bringing home the look you love easier than ever. But hurry, these Labor Day savings will not last long. The 11 o'clock hour, which is what it feels like it's going to be, will be from a region close to where the Ravens and the Packers are practicing. The 10 o'clock hour will get underway next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.